Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. It's time for our weekly tour inside the ring. Who better to provide it than the author of that prize-winning column in the Washington Times, also the senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon and author of the next of his best-selling books, IWAR, War and Peace in the Information Age. He is, of course, Bill Gertz. Bill, it's always terrific to have you with us, but especially in the aftermath of rather interesting testimony yesterday by Jim Comey. I wanted to get your thoughts on what came of it.
Yeah, this was very interesting to me. The big takeaway from the much anticipated testimony by the fired FBI director was his frequent discussion in both his prepared text and his spoken testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee about a private intelligence dossier, which seemed to have been driving the entire FBI counterintelligence probe. It's the latest piece of information indicating that this bogus intelligence report, which included salacious details on the president and tried to link him to the Kremlin, was really part of what seemed to be a political spying operation by the Democrats or other Trump opponents.
There was something for everybody, as we've been talking about throughout the program, but I think this is really a critically important takeaway from it, Bill Gertz. Let me ask you about China. We've also had, while much of our domestic focus has been preoccupied with the James Comey drama, some very important revelations, and you've been, of course, as usual, at the forefront in helping the rest of us understand them. Let's start with China's seizure of these islands, manufacturing them in many cases, fortifying them in, I think, just about every one of them, and what the Pentagon is now, however reluctantly, acknowledging it implies.
Yes, this week the Pentagon released its annual report on the Chinese military, and it was very detailed in describing the attempted Chinese takeover of the South China Sea through these disputed islands. Specifically, it highlighted the buildup on the Spratlys, which is, again, close to the Philippines and an area where the U.S. is going to be bolstering its presence with some warships and aircraft probably based in Subic Bay area. And the report was pretty detailed in saying that the Chinese are, including satellite photos of how the Chinese are building up military facilities, including long runways, which can be used for both warplanes and troop transports, as well as deep ports. It also, for the first time, highlighted the maritime militia, how China is using this surrogate naval force as part of an intimidation and basically an information warfare campaign, again, to try and take over this strategic waterway, which sees about $5 trillion in trade annually.
Bill, this is a troubling development. It's one, of course, that you've been reporting on for some time. Do you think that what the Pentagon is now acknowledging portends a more robust set of activities and policies and posturing of our forces to counter this effort to essentially seize and control this strategic waterway?
Unfortunately, I don't see that. I see basically we had the speech also recently by Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, who went to Singapore for the annual Shangri-La Dialogue Conference of Defense Officials. And he seemed to be signaling that the administration and the Pentagon in particular is going to focus on North Korea. And that has led to a backing off of pressure on China. I had a column in the Asia Times this week that talked about that, that said that it seems that they've elevated North Korea and then denigrated China as a second-tier threat in the region. And the hope is that by being nice to China, that the Chinese are going to help resolve the nuclear issue with North Korea. So that's a bit troubling on one sense. There was mention and there was pressure from Mattis on China regarding the South China Sea, but nothing like the rhetoric that we initially heard from the administration. We had when back in January, the Secretary of State was saying we're going to block China from using those islands. They've backed off that rhetoric.
It seems as though this is a double whammy in a way, Bill Gertz. On the one hand, I think we are agreed that it's unlikely China will actually help us much on North Korea. And secondly, that the fact that they're getting a pass effectively on this very dramatic ramping up of the threat that they pose to us, to our interests, to our allies, is further evidence of why the North Korean gambit is so useful to them, but also, I think, a real setback for our security interests. Let me ask you about one other aspect of the Chinese agenda. Bill, you've written recently at the Free Beacon about a Chinese cybersecurity firm known as Boyusec. Tell us about it and what we've learned about its relationship to the Chinese government itself. And again, what all this suggests about what China is up to in terms of posing a threat to us.
Yeah, this is an important story. I broke the first piece of this in November when I reported that this Chinese cybersecurity firm, it's based in Guangzhou, which is near Hong Kong, was a front organization for the Ministry of State Security, which is the Chinese Civilian Intelligence Service. Just recently, within the last several weeks, a private security firm has fleshed out that story and identified a couple of key people who are in this Boyusec as being linked to the Ministry of State Security. It's significant because we've had a lot of public information from the government on the PLA's use of cyber espionage. This is the first time that we've identified the MSS, the Ministry of State Security, as being the lead. And a lot of the security researchers believe that it's the MSS that was actually behind the hack of the Office of Personnel Management, one of the most devastating and damaging cyber attacks, stealing 22 million records of American federal workers, including sensitive background information of those seeking security clearances. Again, that's valuable human intelligence as well as future cyber intelligence attack information.
Yeah, and it seems being seriously underestimated in terms of the implications from a counterintelligence point of view, Bill. Let me ask you about one other thing. The reports that the Pentagon is among the federal agencies, I think also DHS, that are actually going to be buying telecommunications equipment from a Chinese company called ZTE. Are you picking up anything about that, Bill? And knowing what we do about Huawei, how serious a problem is that against the backdrop of what you've just described?
Yeah, this is, again, this giant Chinese telecom firm called ZTE has managed to penetrate the supply chain for computer equipment, hardware, switches, routers, other handhelds that are used by the Pentagon and DHS. And they're doing it in a way that's kind of covertly by piggybacking on a defense and security contractor. Congress is aware of this, and I believe that there's going to be some congressional action to try and get the Pentagon to cut off, because there's no rules right now that bar the Pentagon or DHS from contracting with these Chinese telecoms that are linked to both the military and the intelligence services in China.
It's simply unbelievable, is all I can say. Bill, finally and quickly, you've been reporting on the threats that are developing in terms of ballistic missile capabilities in the hands of countries like the Russians and the Chinese. What's the latest on the Russian military threat in that domain?
Yes, this is another important story. The Pentagon confirmed to me this week that the Russians, very late last month, conducted the fifth or sixth test of a new hypersonic cruise missile called the Zircon. This is a real threat to our warships. It travels at Mach 6 to Mach 8, which is as fast as 7,000 miles per hour, and that's faster than any of our missile defenses are capable of countering a missile like that. So it's a growing danger, and the Pentagon, again, has been late to the game in dealing with these emerging hypersonic missile threats from both China and Russia.
It's unbelievable, is all I can say. Bill, thanks so much for our visits each week. I look forward to talking with you again next week. Next up, Kyle Scheidler will join us right after this.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.